Okay, we're back for part C, which will be my last discussion, and this deals purely with the short-range T chart for with the T's in it and so forth, the one that we usually talk about. And I wanted to point out a couple of interesting things and also answer viewer questions that tend to get into this area. Let's see, and those centered around a couple of questions that have to do with what was the name of the mystery tea? Why do you call it a mystery tea? There's a Bradley turning point, turning point for the 9th of November. What does that mean? And other questions that probably would best be amplified by this chart, in which I do not show the regular. If you want to see the actual T's that we're interested in, you have to go back to the previous week. This chart has a couple of new features in it. It has what they call the last echo T, which I'll describe in a moment, which says there's a top in late October. And I don't think it's really anything to get excited about in here, except if you're watching the market, you have to be particular about what's going to happen. It's basically in the hang-up. You notice that if you remember the first T, which is also not shown in here, when you came up to out of the March low, there was a projection of a top in the very early part of June. Now, if you go to the chart and you look in the early part of June, you'll see that the market came up close to the red line, the upper envelope, and then it went sideways for about six, seven days, okay, before it rolled over. What's happening to us now is we're at the end of a bunch of T constructions, which started in the mid-October Turing time period, and they're lasting and they're being stretched out. You can see that the little red trading ranges for the S&P is beginning to look like that same trading range that goes to which occurred at the starting with early June. So what you're doing is you're just building a top phase underneath the red envelope. And frankly, the last echo T, which is a new name we're giving to some of the stuff to clear up the confusion on the mystery T, is basically one that I never found worked. Okay, and so I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I'll just any abnormalities that we see when we do with the daily updates. So let's just put this into a proper perspective. The new theory let's first of all get into the amplitude area. I would claim that the S&P 500 is going in a sideways distribution top pattern under the red line the same way as it was doing it in June. So that takes care of the S&P forecast. The advanced decline line is going to take on a very important part for the future, and that's represented by the green line. You see this, the green line bottomed in early March, and it came up. You see this red line with a red first wave underneath it. And that comes up to the top in June. And there's a certain period of time and a certain amount that the advanced decline line rallied. Then it went into this correction period, which we call the BC bottoms. We have two bottoms. And then the advanced decline line came out of the last low, which is what we call a C bottom. And it has a second wave up with a red line. And then we have this small ADT as a refinement for the pullback that we had into early October. And that was basically the drop off the mystery, what we called the mystery T, and then the run up, which we were looking for to go into mid-November. But you see that the second wave up is roughly the same amount in the green line, which is measured the advanced decline line progress, as the first wave. Okay, so I don't think it's at all unusual that the second wave has the same amplitude as the first wave, because the whole period of what we talk about in progress coming out of when you start a new bull market is that they have two waves and with a small correction in between. So it looks perfectly normal that the advanced decline line is making a top, roughly, where the end of that red line is. And what's going to happen is that you can't extend that one. And the reason for that is that it's obvious that the buyers who bought in March have to have the best rally because the stock prices are lower. You can also get an alternative of buying at either the B bottom or the C bottom, which occurred in the late June to early July time period, and you can get an equivalent rally in the advanced decline line, but it's not very likely that it will become a greater advance because you're buying at a higher level, and usually the story is buy low, sell high. And that means that if you buy higher, you don't make as much money as if you bought the lower low. So I would think the advanced decline line topping here is genuine. And there's a small advanced decline T. It's rolling over. You notice in the volume oscillator that you you notice in the table there that the arms ratio is very high, particularly with the 2.28 on Friday. But you see that the advanced decline oscillator is, I mean, the blue volume oscillator is actually in a downtrend. And if you look at the distance between the S&P, red S&P bar, and the red line up above it, you see that you're actually dropping away from it. The question you have is this last echo T, which I'll talk about in a minute. And that one, what you're doing is you say the left end is at the moment, the oscillator peak in the blue advanced decline oscillator, and you're going to put the center post of the T in the last low C, because that's the lowest in the S&P 500. However, it turns out that that is not the lowest low in the advanced decline line. So you get into that conflict is where it is. So when you run out the time equations, what we're talking about as far as the late October peak is we're saying that the time equation is from A to C, and then I take that amount of time and I go from C to D, and I end up with a top in the late October peak. If you want to count that one out on your own tables and tell me what the date is, that's fine. It was previously set as the 28th, which is 3 days from now. I said, what are you going to do in 3 days? Yeah, they had a rally on Thursday and then they died on Friday. Well, okay, so you could come down. The most you would think out of that one is, not that those dates are necessarily going to be exactly right, but you'd think that if you wanted to turn around, you were being forced off by the small ADT. What you just still assume was what I said last week, is that you go down to where that red dashed line is down on the bottom. That's basically the bands for the blue volume oscillator, which is it's the same equations as we do for the S&P 500. But you think that if you went down to that red dashed line, which is a little bit lower, and you went down on Monday, that would be okay to turn around and have a rally. But then you'd only have a couple days rally, and then you would say, well, you can't make another advanced decline T of any great proportions out of it if you wanted to try to make another one. So I would just say that late October peak is going to cut you off of anything that you're going to try to do for this first rally. That rally is going to really fail, and it's basically that they're just going to preserve the concept of the mid-October peak, which is where you split the dot on B and C, and that's the right answer. It's a little early, but it's the right answer. And there's no upside potential. You conceivably could have to go up the red line, but you know, considering that you're going to go to the green line later, what's the risk reward ratio? So don't do anything foolish on that point. So that was the point of that argument. Now that gets us out to this Bradley November 9th, which is supposed to be a turning point. I would say, not that it's my concept or anything like that, but if you did go down and get a couple days rally, then you fell off the late October peak, which is a possibility, that November 9th would tend to be a low and not a high, because I don't think I can't get these echoes to go over. So let's just stop here and talk about the echo business. One of the problems that we ran on with drawing T's on a short-term basis is if you try this late bottom construction for the center post of the T, you get into trouble. So I took a leaf out of the long-range T's where you split the bottom and you get the right answer. And I said, well, that's the best thing, because what you really don't want to do is you don't want to get into trouble. So if you have a first wave is up, a little correction, the second wave is up, and you're sort of in the middle October and you go away, that's the best you're going to be able to do, because there's errors and all this stuff anyway, and it's not rocket science, and go away from that. And all you ask is did the advanced decline line go above its recent peak of 5 or 6 days ago? And if it doesn't, then you just wait for the correction, and maybe it's going to bounce off the black line at some point, and maybe that's November 9th, don't know, okay? But eventually that rally is going to fail and you're going to end up down on the green line. So that brings in the question of what we call the wrong T or the inverse T. I have also asked somebody to give me a quote on that one for the time period. It's November 29th, and we'll get into that at some appropriate time. But what that is that's a collapsed T. The argument that you have only seen half of a market decline when you get oversold carries out through history in T's that are done incorrectly. And I tell you, the classic example of that is when you had a top in 2000, you came down, and then they had the 9/11 attack that brought the market down to an oversold condition. It looked like you was just so lucky to buy that crash. If you were in cash at that time, if you bought that market crash on the panic, you'd think you were at a market low. But what it did is it rallied, and then it went down and continued the other half of the bear market. So what happens is you end up making this initial T that looks like it's an oversold condition, but then the T rallies for a while and then it collapses to the right side and you end up down in this later bottom. I think that that's what the problem is going to be, is that the late November period is the actual bottom, but you have to have some kind of a rally that's going to fail before you have that. And I would say that the first time I find a rally, I'm going to say that rally's going to fail, and that's where I think you're going to go. Okay. It's like saying that the 9/11 oversold condition is only partway down in the market, and then you're going to have a rally, and then you're going to find there's a fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is going to cause you to extend that to a later date. And I think that if we get any of this stuff, which isn't guaranteed by any means, but that's what's going to happen, is you're going to get an oversold condition halfway down, and you're going to have a rally, and it's going to look good. But the fact that you have had the first wave and the second wave of the advanced decline line go on, and you now have to have a bigger correction to support this recovery into the new year, means that you have to go further, and it could have something to do with tax loss selling and stuff like that and so forth. So that's pretty much what the story is. Your stopgap solutions, you see how I have two cash buildup lines, which is the solid green line coming from A. It goes across the top, which we the momentum peak in the early August time period. That's one line you have to cut before you can get into full recovery. And then you have the narrow green line coming down from the August top, which is the one that's turned the market back on the first rally that we had coming up into towards mid-October. And if we get a subsequent rally, if that line turns it back, then we haven't made a new T or anything like that. So you don't want to get too excited about all this stuff and so forth. And it is interesting, of course, that the arms ratio is actually quite good numbers and so forth. The nightmare condition that you can get into, though, in some of those circumstances, if you get high arms ratios, that say you're going to have rallies and you have a bunch of rallies, but you can't cut the arms ratio, but you can't cut the cash buildup line to make a new T. One of the bad things that can happen is you finally lose your top pattern and you go into this decline, and somebody manufactures some data like the consumer is definitely not coming back, and everybody says, well, you know, it's got to undermine all the rally. So you go down into the oversold condition and you're looking for this bottom in November, and then the arms ratio is all low numbers showing that you're a top. Yeah, you know, it's catch 22. You know, you look like you're oversold when you're in a top pattern, and then when you get down and you look like you're in an oversold condition and you find out they're all the arms ratio is giving sell signals. So there's bizarre things that go on in the stock market, which you've been around for a long time, you don't want to get out of. So you don't want to go into this market thinking that the arms ratio, high arms ratio, is going to save you now, because sometimes it's just symmetry in the arms ratio. It gets tired of making high numbers and it goes into low numbers. And if those low numbers come up in the bottom, you're going to find out it's hard to cut that black. You can't start a recovery into the new year until you cover that long, heavy green cash buildup line. And that's going to be difficult to do. So you don't want to oversimplify the problem that it's going to be easy to get a bottom at a later date, say late November, just because the arms ratio is high now, because it could turn around and decide that it's tired of making big numbers and start making small numbers, and they could turn out to be significant at that time. Plus, you're going to have problems. Plus, you might as well be working on what's the next rally. Plus, we have to go look at the capital and income big T to see what the date is and we have to look at the previous capital and income to see how that works out and so forth. Okay, so there's a lot of things to think about, and none of them have anything to do with buy signals. Okay, next week we'll go into some of this stuff, and then the following week I am going to start to move along the whole process of making huge amounts of charts and long data summaries that can be exported to spreadsheets, but I basically have to do that in November because at the end of the month I have to write my management report. So we'll just kind of keep track on this stuff and remember about all these concepts that I talked about in it. When I do my update, I don't generally want to do a vocal thing, so what I do is just recap a couple of notes on it and refer you back to this discussion, Part C, and they'll let you know if they have any other changes. Okay, so that's pretty much the story, and I think that we're probably, that's enough information, and I still have other questions that haven't been answered, but that should cover us for the most of the questions, and we'll be back with a full discussion next Sunday, as usual, and I'll be making the comments after 2 hours after the close on Monday. Thank you. Bye-bye.